You want to look here?
Oh, I think I
should. Oh, that.
Is it on here?
I think we're recording, yeah?
Yeah, it should be recording.
Okay, hi everyone again. Definitely outnumber the clinical area. I think there's very few clinical students, but it's not in a typical year. It just happened that many of the faculty were not available today, so they met with the students on another day. So it's not usually this much, this heavy for a CD compared to clinical. So thanks to the current students who've come today to talk to prospective students. Put in your hand if you are a current graduate student in clinical developmental. Okay, so we have good representation. This table doesn't have anyone. And there's two. Okay, we'll split up these people. I would like every table to have someone. Okay, excellent. Thank you, Jala. Okay, so welcome again. My name is Christine Till, and I'm going to talk to you about the clinical developmental area now. And every year we have this open house, and it's always in the middle of February. And I look around, and I see lots of white snow that just seems like it's not going to go anywhere. And I start to think about how building snow sculptures gives you a lot of skills. And these are the skills that we see in our graduate students, and these are the skills that I do believe lead to success. So here's a picture taken about 5 years ago, two of my kids, building a snow sculpture, and it really does highlight one key skill, but the importance of having a plan. You need a plan and a CD area. And let's start with the plan for the snowman, but obviously you need a nice solid base to build a good structure, but when there's two kids working, they need to know what they're working towards, what's the ultimate goal, who's going to do what, so you get a nice looking snow sculpture. And the CD area is very much like building a snowman. You need this plan. And we have it outlined in the Clinical Developmental Handbook. This is updated every year, it's on the website, and it gives you a plan, a timeline. Year after year, what are the milestones that we expect from our students to achieve so they can get out of this program in about 7 years' time? That's with their internship. Okay. Oops. Another picture about building snow sculptures. And here's my middle child, who's the apprentice in this picture, with her older sister, looking pretty happy that they've successfully built the snow fort. You can see it's dark out, they've been working at it for a while. But the key here is you need a mentor. To build something, you gotta learn from a mentor. So let me introduce our faculty mentors to you. Because unfortunately, today just happens to be the day that many people are away at conferences, or they're teaching, or many things have come up. So I will be introducing them to you by this two-dimensional picture here. Our faculty and CD, they're organized for my presentation in thematic units, really based on research interests and teaching interests. So I'll begin with this group of faculty members who have a particular expertise in studying relationships, like social or romantic relationships, or relationships like attachment, social development, like bullying. And here I see Dr. Claire Riddell has joined us, so you can wave to see her in real life. And Dr. Winter has been in our program for a long time. Dr. Jennifer Connolly, who is also the undergraduate director at York. I'm not sure she's here today. She could have come to this meeting, or she might be in another meeting. Dr. Pedler, who's at a big PrevNet conference today, or this week. And Dr. Rwanda, who is here today as well. So we're well represented by the relationship people today. Thank you for coming. Another theme in the CD area is the faculty who focus on child to clinical populations like autism spectrum disorder, ADHD, learning disabilities, or particular neurological populations, and also take a developmental cognitive science approach to their research. So in this cluster, we have Dr. Deroche, who's here. Dr. Deroche is the director of clinical training, very supportive mentor. We also have Jim Metko. Megan Toplak, who is here today but currently teaching, myself, and Tim Moore, who is a faculty member at Glendon, our other campus, the French campus for York University. And last but not least, we have another cluster of faculty members who have expertise in treatment approaches and therapy outcomes with Dr. Von Bohr, Dr. Rod Muller, Jonathan Weiss, who is a chair in autism research, and Dr. Adrian Perry, who you met earlier, who's also the graduate director of the program. So you might be noticing now that the CD area, we have faculty members who do a lot of service. I should have also mentioned that Dr. Rwanda is the master of Calumet College, so we have many university area program area faculty also in major roles in service in this university, basically running the university or as in psychology.
It's true.
Our CD area is very rich with experts spanning many different areas, but I also want to acknowledge our clinical colleagues. It's not like we are separate because we're in two different areas. There's a lot of overlap between the clinical developmental area and clinical area. When I think about getting or having a committee member for a student's thesis or dissertation, I'm often relying on my clinical colleagues to help support my students' clinical training. So it's really nice to have this very large group of clinicians, scientists at York University. Okay, so back to the picture of the apprentice with her mentor. That's the before picture and something a little bit more recent, but here's Rosemary and her accomplishment. She reminded me yesterday that she built this in 30 minutes, and that was in December. She's become quite efficient at building a fort. We always have a fort on her front lawn every year. But the point here is that if you want to build forts and do it efficiently, you need lots of practice. And with practice, you develop expertise. So how does the CD area do this? Well, we get our students to practice, practice, practice. And we have a great opportunity for practice in our in-house clinic in the YUPC, which you've already heard about from Dr. Louise Hartley. So just to go over how this is structured in our program, the MA program requires students to commit 30 hours over the entire MA program and with 10 hours of direct contact with a client or a supervisor. 10 hours of client contact. So those hours are mandatory part of the clinical program in your master's training, and then we have in the PhD program the requirement to have at least 30 hours of clinical supervision over the entire PhD degree. Jane, would you say that students usually have more than that many hours to in the?
I think for the master's, they're probably on par, probably over.
Okay. Seems like our students are always coming and doing more and more in the in-house clinic because they see that they want to train with a particular supervisor or get exposure to another population. So I just see them, they just keep coming year after year to pick up an extra case. So this is part of the program requirements that our students have program sanctioned hours, getting credit for that work. Students also play a really big role in advising in our department. One example of that is the Student Advisory Committee for the YUPC. So we have student representation from the clinical developmental area and the adult area, and they're on a committee that advised to the director in terms of what types of programs they might want to see offered, how they can engage the student body to participate further in the YUPC. I think we have some student advisory people here. I would say, three. Okay, so you can ask people at your table about this advisory committee, what they do. Okay, so how else do we establish expertise so our students can really flourish when they're at the end of the program and get to their internship? We offer, well, this geography is a really big advantage at York University because it allows the students to have access to a very large number of practicum placements across the GTA, as listed here. And really the evidence is, you heard earlier, our APIC internship match rate is very high. In the past 3 years, we've had an extremely high match rate, ranging from 9% to 100%. For those who don't match the first round, they do match the second round, so we're pretty much at 100% if you include the second round matching, when national rates hover around 75%. So there's your evidence that we are producing experts in clinical developmental psychology. Okay. The other thing for success is you need to have lots of access to resources, right? Snow, it's abundant, it's everywhere. If you have time and resources, you can bring a lot. So let's talk about resources at York. So we have, during your tour, you'll see the clinic and some really great rooms, state-of-the-art assessment rooms with proper equipment for recording. But students also need to learn a lot before they get into the clinic. They need to practice the tests. And we have a psychology resource center that's really invaluable. It's a huge test library that students can go into, borrow tests, take them home and practice them. You can ask your clinic tour guide where this resource center is and pop in and have a look. Not only is there clinical equipment, but it's a library. There's books. You can take them out all geared really for our psychology students. So we have that's a really great resource. Now we also have state-of-the-art technology. We have an awesome computer lab. Ask your students at the table about the computer access with software available for them to use for free. And I also want to really highlight the statistical support that is offered at York University. So we have a quantitative methods area. It's one of our graduate areas. But we also have, so we have expertise in statistics in the Department of Psychology. But there's also a statistical consulting center that offers free consulting. Yes, free consulting to not only faculty, but graduate students and undergrad students as well. So this is spectacular. You want to consult with a statistician, you can go to the Statistical Support Consulting Center, make an online appointment, and have this service. So that's a pretty amazing resource, I think, for someone in graduate school.
I think I should be pointing this way.
Okay. Also, resources, with resources also comes funding support. And you heard about this earlier from Dr. Perry, when she broke down the funding support. But I also want to point out that our faculty members in CD hold grants from all three federal granting councils, as well as a wide variety of provincial and private granting agencies. And this is important because if the lab is well funded, the students are topped up from their supervisors and have access to really great research projects that are ongoing. Students, so we don't have the numbers right off the top of my head, maybe I can play right on those, or there for the external scholarships in the CD area. But I have to say, from my own experience, that all of my graduate students and all of your graduate students have been successful with CIHR and other federal granting agencies. There are other OGS, OVHF, and other specific funding agencies that are as much as CIHR. So our student area students are very competitive. Talk to the students that you meet here, but I do have to say that they do very well, and I think that's a really important resource as well to have a type of funding support. In addition to external funding bodies, the university also provides some internal funding. And CV in particular is really unique because the types of awards that are offered, there's an autism-specific award, there's an award in maternal child health, and obviously that makes it very appealing to our CV students because many of the research projects that students are working on fall under the scope of these internal awards offered at the university. Also, with regard to support, we have exceptional admin support. Some of the administrative staff were here earlier, just really showing their support for our grad programs. Okay, and another important skill for success in the CV area is this idea of creativity. And I think this is why I'm so proud to be in the CV area, because when I look around and see what the students are doing, they're thinking outside of blocks. They're not all building snowmen. They're building things that look like this. Like, oh wow, I never thought of that type of snow sculpture. And this is the type of research that the CV students come up with. It's exceptional. This is what's moving the field forward, their creativity. And our students are always showcasing. I see the research being presented at all levels, at local conferences, national conferences, and at international conferences. So we're not just building snowmen in the backyard. We're in the front yard. We're showcasing our work all over. And just some places where you would find us presenting include APA, CPA, APS. I'm not going to go through all the acronyms, but we're all over and making a real splash internationally. Okay, another scope of success. So this is not really building a snowman, but in the same theme. This is my oldest, she's trying to push her GT racer up a hill, showing this enthusiasm and commitment and tenacity, and really she's got that firm grip on that GT racer and determined to get it up the hill, probably hitting some ice. And I was tobogganing last weekend, and it's actually tiring going up and down, and a lot of snow, but this is the type of skill that you need to succeed in the city area. And just to illustrate that level of determination and tenacity for research, some examples from our faculty members, where you see the research doesn't end in just publishing the work. It's a full circle. We take our research, translate it to the relevant stakeholders, to really make an impact on people that are trying to help. Here's an example of Dr. Muller, who is the founder of the Trauma and Mental Health Report. But really, this is the type of example showing the enthusiasm for the work that we're doing, our passion for our research area. Dr. Pepler also always giving engaging lectures to many different forums. Just the importance of getting our research message across. And I think that's a really important point of our job. Okay, so I'm going to carry on with a few more bragging rights for CD. Our faculty members integrate clinical work through research. Any of our faculty members hold adjunct affiliations with local hospitals and community mental health agencies, including SICKITS, MH, Director General, and PrevNet. And this is important because it allows the students to also connect with major research-intensive hospitals, world-class hospitals, and that gives you access to patient populations and also research opportunities. You've heard this theme before, but the CD area really is embedded within a larger community in the Department of Psychology. We're a pretty big program. How many people in the area of Mary in total? Okay, well, so we have 75 enrolled grad students. That's a lot, but we do manage to get these students together approximately twice a year for social events. I think I have a slide. Oh, here's, I'll get to that. But I also wanted to highlight that each year, our cohort size is approximately 8 per year. This is an example of one of our cohorts, and typically we do have about a male in each cohort. Yeah, I think so. Okay. But this is nice because it allows for the classes to be quite small, quite intimate, and for me to get a lot of one-on-one. So you heard this, the size along with the CD is about 75 students, and we strive to have about 2 social events a year with graduate students and faculty members, where we come together and in a complete social environment, either at home or maybe we'll try bowling one day. I don't know, we do different events. We also have an annual town hall meeting for students to give feedback about the program, and Dr. Doroshi's been really leading this and having meetings specifically with each cohort to discuss any concerns or just to really get feedback about how things are going. Okay, so ultimately we want you all to reach this happy day, congregation, and our goal as faculty is to help you build the skills to achieve your goals. And I'll end with this picture, that if you're going to come to York, get ready to build something awesome. Okay, thank you. So we can take some questions about CD. If you don't have any specific questions about CD for the faculty to answer, then you can ask the student at your table. Well, now we're going to arrange tables so every table has at least one grad student. But now it's your time to chat with the students. Are there any general questions that you think everyone would like an answer to? Assessment and other and maybe therapy as well. This is a very common question. It's getting more and more common. Are you interested in neuropsychology as well? Or no? Okay, so it often comes up in the neuropsych students because neuropsychology is typically lifespan focused, and that is a good percent of our neuropsych students want to also be lifespan. Okay, so I can take a stab at it, and Mary can supplement as well. So it is possible. Our students, at least 10% of our students, want that adult training. And this is the thing that coming to York, we have those courses available. So our students would be required to take the adult assessment class and do a practicum with adults. So you have to arrive at your training more to get the lifespan training that you're required to register eventually with the college in pediatrics and adult. So it's doable. It may add approximately a year of extra training. Mary might have more insight into how much extra time it will take.
Right now we have, I think, 2 or 3 students who are in PhD 2. Sarah is one of them, and she's mine. Who are doing a few extra courses. So basically we have 2 flat course electives you are required to take in the CD area. And you can take those in adult courses. So you can take adult assessment, psychodiagnostics is also a good one to take as well. And there are foundations courses in therapy. So some people take an extra half course. And what we're saying is that one of your practica should probably be with adults as well as the child experience at one level. So that's been possible. The great thing is we have the YUMC right on campus, so having training opportunities right here can make a huge difference. And I know I have a few more students who are interested in doing that cross-training in child and adult. So what happens is I will meet with them along with Dr. Joel Rich, who's the DCT of the adult area, and we will individualize your program for you.
Yeah, it really comes down to individualizing your program. You can do that at work. There's enough electives and rigor room to do that. Lots of information, but if there's something that comes up, now's your chance to ask the students at your table. Thanks to the current students who come in, you can have a seat at one of the tables. We have until 2 o'clock, and then clinic tours, they will escort you back to BSP for the clinic tours, or if you're meeting with a supervisor. But now take some time to chat with the students. So thanks for your attention and enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay.